This is Near Enough to Hell, A Ghost of El Paso Story, Part 4. We are down west this week, so no Mother Ruth Calvo in any of the scenes. But let's take a current look at our hunters and also the slate of threats we currently have on our table, because we kind of threw out a lot at the end of the last session. So Graves currently has the Hanged Man Nose, in addition to their permanent condition of death touch. Marshal Andrew Harrington has Watched by Mother Ruth, not exactly in effect per se, but that might still get in the way of a roll or two, depending on how the fiction goes. And the Calamity Arkansas McGee is still hungover. Very good. We have four active threats and a fifth on the way. We currently have the Daisy Man and Ghost Beyond as our regular threats. And then last session, Marshall Harrington introduced the Bounty Hunter threat into play. So we have that Revenant currently trying to apprehend Andrew for entirely unrelated crimes. It is truly a case of mistaken identity, and instead of dealing with this head on, trying to figure out how to prove the marshal's innocence, that just came into play. So we'll probably be doing some exploration of what that means. And then not this day phase, but the next day phase after Arkansas gets the horse from Dr. Clarkson. Because yes, we determined that the child, the spawn of Blackheart Vermilion's horse Titus, is in the ownership of the charlatan Dr. Jebediah F. Clarkson, otherwise known as the figure behind Ghost Beyond. Once that horse has been acquired, then we will introduce another threat, the last ride of Blackheart Vermilion. This is arguably the, not even arguably, this is the most threats I've ever had going at once ever, once Blackheart Vermilion enters play. Also of note, we did answer the first question on the Daisy Man last time. The question being, is the Daisy Man a ghost or a living person? The group, after all marking masks, did determine that it is a living person. So we unlocked the question, how are they using the power of the Wounded Knight to behave to become incorporeal? So we're currently on that line of investigation. There was a complication on that too, but I believe everyone owes me masks still. So we'll get to that this session for sure. We've got three clues on Ghost Begone, and so far no clues on the Bounty Hunter. Very good. All right. With that said, we left off kind of early in the day phase, kind of set up the things to come, but I figure we're gonna do a little bit more day phase role play, and before maybe even seeing a night phase. So we are going to pick up with let's just pick up first, I'd say, with Marshall Harrington. So we kind of had a lot going on last session. You spoke with Del Sol and the Deputy Wainwright came in, with the wanted poster and told you the whole thing with this bounty hunter. So let's pick up with you. What do we see Marshall Harrington doing?
I think we're gonna cut away sort of like from like that scene in the jail to like sort of the marshal being outside of town, like sort of watching the horizon, just being like he knows that's probably the bounty hunter is probably already in town and is probably up there looking for him. So he's kind of like may not be the best place to be there yet, but still, it's kind of weird, like how much has been coming into town recently with both Ghost Begone and the Bounty Hunter. So, like, I think like I'm checking out like along the roads to see like with how much traffic there has been, something must have gotten left behind.
So you're just kind of stalking the outskirts of El Paso?
Yeah.
All right. Let's paint the scene, because why not? I feel like being evocative. The township of El Paso has very clearly defined borders where it then becomes open desert. What sort of things of either world, the desert or El Paso, can be kind of found in this liminal space between one or the other? Things from one side that have either been left behind or encroached into this transitional space.
I like the tumbleweeds that pass through are not they're not like the sage color like on the other side of the river or even north. The tumbleweeds are kind of like the sage color bush, free roaming bush, but around here they're bone white.
Oh, go ahead.
Any sorts of structures to expand El Paso as of late have just been taken by the desert. It's sort of literally sinking into the dirt, and in some cases, even the sand.
Double checking. I had to check for various critters. I don't think that the animals of the desert respect the boundaries of El Paso or anywhere, really. And I think, Marshall Harrington, you see a rattlesnake cross your path, completely undaunted by you. Just, this is a regular occurrence.
Hey, Anna, do you think now is a good time to give us the mask you owe?
I think so. My mask is narrates a flashback to the biggest score of your former life of crime. Harrington. Harrington is an interesting name, isn't it? It's a fancy name. It's a name that you wouldn't expect to be tossed into the muck and dirt of the world, into the sort of recesses of crime itself. Of course not. Harrington would never do that. He is a gentleman. He has other people do it for him. Sort of a local bracket of brigadiers in London taking sort of payments from locals just for protection against any sort of vandalism or thievery or just to add a little bit more muscle into the area, just to make sure your business is all right. I think the biggest score was less about the money and more taking out a rival of sorts. A certain detective, oh, what's his name? I can't even remember. Well, he was getting close to figuring out it was a little bit more organized than your average gang. It was a citywide affair. But, well, with crimes, there's always crimes left unsolved, and some of the which, such as bribery, blackmail, could be put blamed on other folks. And Harrington considered the orders that were before him sort of neatly written in a hand that he has disguised because, well, you never write in your own handwriting when it comes to these sorts of things. And he looks very pleased with himself because it's just perfect. That detective would go to jail and they would be left running free.
Heading over to Arkansas McGee, what are you doing?
He is trading He's with all these cattlemen and ranchers and folks, and he's trading some playing cards that Black Heart Vermilion was playing when she was shot by that coward Jim McKinley, and it still got her blood on it. You can see there. So he's got these cards that he's trading it for a horse.
Okay, I
I'm
like
gonna
that.
use it. And he's using the move. What's it
Oh.
called? Yeah, it's a move called
Fraternize.
Fraternize with the Fellas,
Yeah.
where he is going to, let's see. When you spend time with laborers, cowpokes, and drifters, you can choose two of the following. And he is going to trade one of his personal items, marked unmarked, for a new one. And a new one is going to be like, a workhorse. And so he's putting a workhorse into his personal quarters and removing those playing cards.
Okay.
And my second thing I'm going to pick is I do not draw any unwanted attention.
All right. Yeah. We see you kind of fraternizing with these cowpokes gathered around one of the dustier kind of side work yards at the fringes of El Paso, playing, little hands of whatever particular game is their favorite at the moment. You explain the nature of this deck, and one of them, Seamus, an Irishman, he is like, "Now, is that actually her blood? Or are you just trying to sell me snake water, if you know what I
No,
mean?"
this is no, not if you can see how I've kept it preserved, and I don't want to scratch any of this off. It's very dried because it's been pretty much 4 going on 5 years since she was killed. But yeah, there it is.
Legend of Blackheart Vermilion aside, you realize that this is just an ordinary deck of cards, and you want to just. You want to trade a horse for this?
Actually, I should probably be asking for 2 horses.
But I can't argue with you there. I'll take it. And he gives you the reins of a sturdy, but not necessarily expensive workhorse by the name of B. What's its name?
Spot?
Spot. There you go.
Don't know.
Spot. Spot the workhorse.
Ah, I see. On account of the spot.
Now that would be why they named him that. Hey. Very good. Awesome. Well, with the workhorse now in tow and one deck of cards lighter, what are you doing?
He's heading over to where the Ghost Begone Dr. Clarkson has his shop set up.
Yeah, you track down that he is currently storing his wagon in a warehouse in an area of northern El Paso. This is the place where they are planning to construct a train yard, and so this warehouse is presently dedicated towards the storage of lumber and other materials for that eventuality. There's a large set of like doors to the warehouse itself. Stationed outside of it is a man you've seen before, Harry Etheridge, just a kind of local workerman. You might remember him from session one. I mentioned him in passing. Gentleman with sun-damaged skin, faded red shirt, dusty brown pants, and a pistol that could honestly be oiled and maybe even polished again. It's seen better days at his hip. Seems that he's currently been taken on the job of a watchman for the warehouse.
I'm looking for the horse and somebody to do some trading with.
I think the interior of the warehouse is where they would store the wagon itself, but the horse is probably a separate matter instead. I like the idea that there is like an attached livery kind of nearby just for some of the, I mean, in one of the many work yards here. So I think Harry Etheridge just kind of gives you a nod, just a curt little nod in acknowledgement as you walk past the warehouse itself to this actual store yard. One of the working boys there kind of sees you walking up with this workhorse and says, "Oh, sorry, McGee. Stables are currently full. You'll have to find another pen for your horse there."
No, I'm here to do some trading.
The work the you know the laborer kind of furrows his brow a little bit and says, Not exactly a business. What kind of trade are you looking for, McGee?
Well, a friend of mine used to own that sire of that big horse right there, and is blind as a bat. And so I got a seeing horse, which is not as pretty, but as sturdy, to swap out if the owner is so inclined.
You see that this laborer is about to open his mouth to speak when you hear a voice behind you saying, "So inclined will be yet, yet is yet to be seen, my good friend. But you have certainly caught my interest." And behind you, kind of sidling up to you, is Dr. Jebediah F. Clarkson, which as a reminder to everybody, is a gentleman in a very smart black striped suit, gray top hat. Kind of atop his balding pate, splendid oiled and curled mustache and goatee combo, little tiny spectacles. He looks like Daniel Qualls, if Daniel Qualls was more of a scoundrel.
He is me.
Yes, he is indeed. He says, "And it's typically I who is peddling wares to the fine folk of El Paso, but you've certainly caught my interest. You say that you have a business proposition for me, looking to exchange that horse with my horse. Could I ever ask you why?"
Oh, well, it's not really a, it's more like a swap. Because I don't see any of, I think I might be losing money on this one. I don't know. But so I got this friend who has been departed, and
Takes off his
this
top hat and
horse.
holds it to his chest and gives you a little nod of empathy.
This horse right here is I knew his sire. Titus was his name, and it has this blinding birth defect. And so I was going to swap this one out and then take this horse and reminisce about the nostalgia days of yesteryear.
Well, I have to say that is a particularly moving story really tugs at the old heartstrings, but I have to ask you, are you utterly certain that horse and that pen right there that I have rightfully owned from a town very far away from these parts is indeed the descendant of a horse that you claim it to be? How came you by such knowledge?
I don't remember. I was really drunk at the time, but it all checks out. It seems like the math checks out at least.
I'm gonna call
If it's not
this.
the right horse, I'll bring it right back.
I'm going to call this the day move with presents. Not that necessarily anything's particularly risky per se, but this definitely feels like a degree of uncertainty in the conversation, especially with Dr. Clarkson's unknown motives. But it's a sound argument. I mean, I think we established last time that there was some kind of like genetic blindness or some issue with sight, and this horse is definitely on the cheaper side. The horse you're bringing is probably even better for the purposes of carrying a big shop wagon around. So I don't think that there's any, I don't think your conditions would apply to this whatsoever. It's a pretty straightforward deal. But still, what are you afraid of happening here?
That he doesn't, and then I've got to, then I have to like clunk him on the head and steal the horse or something. Like yeah, I'll have to. It's what Arkansas is thinking is hook or by crook. So
Love it. All right. Well, then you can roll plus your presence.
I will mark. I'm gonna go ahead and mark the horse since I'm probably not gonna get it back.
Makes sense.
I'm going to mark the horse to use that as a to give me an advantage. Not playing around. I got a plus one. 9, 10.
10. All right. You will absolutely do what you set out to do. Go ahead and narrate how this transaction proceeds.
I didn't when we shake, we spit on our hands and we shake on it. I think he also buys a couple of bottles of Ghost Begone while he's there, like and like sticks them in his pockets for later. And then when he goes to the horse, he wasn't 100 after Dr. Clarkson asked him how did he know, he really didn't remember how he knew. So he's a little hesitant, but then when he sees the horse, the horse slowly turns towards him, and kind of like notices Arkansas coming, and then he knows it's the horse, And so he strokes the side of the horse and takes the guide rope, and we just see him walking down towards the Rio Grande.
We watch as Dr. Clarkson's eyes keenly follow you as you walk down the road, kind of an unreadable glint of some sort of plot stirring behind those eyes, a slight smirk touching at the corner of his lip, intrigued, a little confused, very intrigued by you in particular, Mr. McGee, but takes the reins of your horse and heads the other way. With your new bottles of Ghost Begone as well that you may have acquired, you walk down the streets with this horse, and indeed a pair of local dowagers pass you by in the street, excitedly clutching their own bottles of Ghost Begone, and you kind of hear their animated chatter about how this whole wounded knight menace will soon be a thing of the past. And we transition over to Graves. What are you doing, Graves?
I'm staying far away from Arkansas's business because I was asked to. Don't want to mess that up. And I think at this point Graves knows he's not good with people. So he's instead going to go look into this Daisy Man business again. Not at the bank though, because there's just like a little tickle in the back of his head from Bartholomew, from his host. And he ends up sort of turning towards Niels, where Arkansas told him there were people who wanted him dead. There's criminals there. We know the Daisy Man's a man. Maybe he's there, and even if he's not, maybe the people who killed him want to play a game.
Very true indeed. You find your way to Neil's. It is the same as we described it before. Neil himself behind the bar. It's around midday, so it's not exactly teeming with people, but certainly those who are drinking here are those who could be found at any hour drinking here. And yeah, I mean, Neil's behind the bar here, and I think this is the first time you've been to Neil's yourself, so I think that there's kind of a like a hush that immediately follows as you return to this place. And honestly, let's give this place a new paint the scene question is like, what signs, or rather just like kind of like what about Graves's entrance in Neil's, the tenor of the patrons, the place itself seem to reflect this sort of uncertainty, considering the fact that he was working here, or at least doing some runs here, and then he ended up with an attempted murder. Kind of, how does that air affect this place?
I like that somebody's leaning back in their chair with their boots up on the table, and it's a long skinny it's a long skinny saloon, and so when this guy turns and sees Graves, his foot slips and we it's quiet, and then there's just like a slam, and he's quickly trying to get back up in his chair and act like nothing happened.
I think as Graves is entering, this hush has entered over the crowd. We hear that slam, and then we start to hear money being exchanged because they thought you may have actually just died because he didn't come back right away.
I think that a game stops. There's a poker game going on, and the clatter of the man falling out of the chair and the gentle clink of money being exchanged is enough for people to kind of whisper that they fold, and the poker game is over.
Neil's eyes follow you as you enter. A slight, I was about to say like a little nervous perspiration, but this man is always sweating, so it's hard to tell what the emotion behind any given moment of sweat is. He just kind of like, pads at it with his handkerchief and says, "Bart, glad to see you again. Good to see that you've been making a good recovery. How are you feeling?"
Much, much better.
"I am most pleased to hear that. What can I get you?" He begins reaching for bottles by default.
Nothing. I'm just here to catch up with everyone. No need to serve me.
Neil's hands kind of like hovering midway towards the bottle, looking at you. His eyes flick to other places in the room, but he just then gives like a polite nod and lowers his hands and, not really knowing what to do with them, folds them on the counter and leans genteelly against the bar and just gives you a smile.
Fabulous. Graves leans against the bar, kind of towards him, as if they're old friends, as if, and they may be, but Graves doesn't know. And that, he doesn't communicate with us that much, but he does lean in. And so tell me, have I missed anything around here? Is there been anyone new? What's the what do they call it? Gossip? What's going, what's been going on?
I mean, not much has really ever changed around here in recent weeks. I mean, same old as old, same as always here, or same old, same old. Got some new patrons playing a three card Monty in the back, and an Irishman of all people. Very strange. Did not expect to find his lot here in this sort of in this establishment. And by that I don't mean Irish. He's sort of a he's just a gambler. I'm surprised to find that he's going all sorts of he's visiting my place of all. Never struck me as anything other than more of a finer establishment kind of gentleman.
Is he from out of town?
He is from Ireland.
Oh,
Very much out of town.
interesting.
Not even out of town. He's swimming in an entirely different puddle.
And you say they're playing back there right now?
Yes, I believe they should be wrapping up shortly. I know you don't particularly deal in cards. Dice games are more your forte, but we haven't had any games of dice currently sought after, if if you can pardon the lack of work.
It's perfectly fine. I'm not keen on gambling these days, but I am interested in meeting new people. I think I'm going to go back there as long as that's all right with you. And he will go back there regardless of whether he's allowed to, but
Right. Well, very good. Goes back to polishing a glass. As you go into the back room, Harrington, let's cut back over to you on the outskirts of El Paso, kind of keeping an eye out for disturbances, I should say, or just any signs of anything, the way you put it. Let's go ahead and just get a roll on the table, why don't we? Let's do information roll. I think this will be plus. Think maybe composure, just because of the fact that you're really keenly focusing on the surroundings. This is less of examining, a specific scene or really kind of like tying the pieces together. This is more of just like scanning the horizon with keen, focused eyes. So because plus composure, no disadvantage.
Oof, that's six.
Six. You spend a lot of time walking around in the outskirts of town, picking through whatever really seems to have been either blown into the area by the winds or even just fallen off of some two-bit wagon that broke an axle halfway to town and dumped some loot here, but nothing actual worthwhile can be found. At one point, as you're looking around, the sun is hot overhead, beating down on you, but thankfully your hat keeps some shade against your eyes. You hear footsteps crunching the gravel behind you. Very quick footsteps. Ba 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 ba. Someone in fast pursuit running towards you. You spin around, but it's just some hound that's come trotting up, sniffing the ground, looks up at you, kind of tilts its head, and then moves past you, maybe just looking around for a meal or maybe looking for its master. But all the same, you feel your heart, but an accelerated moment of tension. I'm going to give you the condition jumping at shadows. And I'm going to require the day move of you. Not for anything that's immediately in the scene here. However, this sort of accelerated heart rate, maybe a sweat from a mixture of exertion from being outside, but also perhaps a little perspiration from the anxiety of everything, You do look like a man who's desperately trying to hide something and doing it quite poorly. You are losing some sense of composure here. What are you afraid of happening if you return to town with this current state you're in?
I think it's less immediate, but other people take note and they'll start to gossip as though, like, I look like the sort of man who has just gotten the noose around his neck, but it hasn't dropped quite yet.
Very good. Then you can do this as a D move plus composure, disadvantage because you're now jumping at shadows.
What is in my personal quarters?
I see some arguments that can be made here.
My. No, I don't think I really have much of anything, just because I know what some of the stuff means to me.
Fair enough. All right, then you'll roll disadvantage.
Yeah, technically speaking, if I were to try to use them, I think they would just make the situation worse.
Duly noted.
Okay, that is actually not that bad. That is a 10.
10. All right. Narrate the scene. How do you steel yourself and continue acting with a cool head? Relatively, at least on the outside.
As I see this sort of dog that's trotting along, probably digging at something that got long buried, I calm myself up of just realizing, oh, it's just a wild dog. It has no collar, has no master. I need to be alert, but I also need to keep my image up. My ideal of what it means to be the marshal of this town. I can't afford to slip into older habits.
You see that you have wandered a little bit in your head state in the fringes of the town, kind of getting close to actually, making your way back in, but you've wandered very close to the graveyard and crematorium. The fenced off, area here at the edge of town itself. Because, someone after the last Wounded Night, when you were first here in town, someone had the idea to start burning bodies, but most folks still use the graveyard, and both are kind of stationed right next to each other, surrounded by this sturdy fence, which you're now kind of on the outskirts of. Let's paint the scene. What about the crematorium building shows it is new? What about the graveyard shows it is old, but with recent activity?
It's very obvious, like they are burying another body. But there's multiple gravestones in the row.
Killed that guy. I think the way that we can tell it's new is the crematorium is the sand. It hasn't like started to like reclaim it as we saw earlier. Like it's still pretty like above ground. It's not sinking, and it's the mortar's still fresh.
And I think in the same vein, the freshness of the crematorium matches the freshness of one of the new gravestones, and it's right next to a very, very, very old one that you can't even make out the dates on.
Yeah, you can see the little plume of smoke wafting out of the crematorium and in the graveyard. Eli Shields, the local gravedigger, just digging, going about his day underneath the hot sun. I think he looks up from his grim work and he's a little too far off, but even still, you know him. You can still make out the dark smudges of dirt around his eyes and the fingers that are now turning brown as more. As the dirt is not under his fingernails, it's getting all over the finger itself. Just kind of like looks up, adjusts his hat slightly, Just holds up a hand, seeing you just kind of lurk around the periphery before lowering it and just going back to his work.
Yeah, I think I'm going to actually approach Eli.
You'll hop the fence. We'll come back to that. Arkansas, you got a horse.
Yeah, I think I can't. I should do it tomorrow morning.
Yeah, tomorrow it'll be when things happen.
So he's taking the horse back, and I'm tempted to either look for a clue on the. I think I'm going to look for a clue instead of doing the mask. I'll you one. So I'm going to look for a clue. So I got these bottles. I'm walking with this horse, and I'm looking at the bottle. I'm inspecting the bottle. I'm smelling it. I'm tasting it. I'm trying to see what is in this. I drank a lot of stuff.
That is a really fun way to find a clue, especially for the calamity. I'm with it. Sure, I like this. Just kind of, we see you sat down on some wooden planks on the boardwalk, just cracking open these corks, sniffing them, tasting them, swigging them, swishing them around your mouth like it was mouthwash, spitting them, the whole nine yards. This is going to be probably a really fun information move. It will be plus, I want to say.
Reason, maybe?
Yeah, I was gonna say reason.
Because I don't think he doesn't believe that it's like actual
Yeah, it's gonna be
magic.
plus. Well, yeah, it's gonna be plus reason, but no
Okay.
disadvantage from being hungover. Liquid on your tongue is liquid on your tongue.
Maybe we'll see.
Maybe it even gives you a buzz, who knows?
Trust me, Alex, I know where this can go. And not good places. Yeah.
Never drink your own product.
Four.
Four. Let me think on this for a second. Let's see. Let's see. Take a look at our safety tab for a second.
Okay. All right.
Always helps to be
Kind
thorough.
of familiar. What is this?
What it is extremely
Oh no.
unpleasant to you, and you still
Oh.
can't quite pin what it is. It's not, it's the effects that are going to manifest on you. Now, let's be clear. You've seen, Dr. Clarkson drink this thing down. You've seen other people in El Paso drinking Ghost Be Gone. It's not like, this is necessarily happening to everyone. It just so happens it's happening to you. There is an immediate revolt from the inside of your stomach at what you are drinking here. You've drank in some pretty foul and poisonous stuff in your time. And, while you may have hardened some aspects of your inner workings, you've severely dampened other parts of them. So some element in Ghost Be Gone's makeup, whatever it is essentially giving you horrific sickness. I'm going to give you, I think the condition is going to be called debilitating cramps. Like you, like the sudden, like all the muscles of your stomach begin to like spasm and seize. You retch, you even throw up, but whatever it is, it's not quite an allergic reaction. It's just a really bad reaction. Something in your body is screaming against whatever you just put in. And that's saying something because you put some bad stuff in your body. You are just feeling these sharp pains like a jagged knife in your gut. In fact, you've been stabbed in the gut before, and this is only like maybe a step as bad as that, like step below as bad as that, but still it fucking hurts.
Two things, horse. I've not named you yet, but I got an idea for one. Two things. One, this is anti-alcohol, which is rumored to be exist out in the East Coast. Two, I'm a ghost.
Oh man, I'm almost. I'll. You know what? I'm. I want you to revise the condition to add a slash there. So it's disability dating cramps and I'm a ghost. Just the idea of Got it.
Question mark. I'll put a question mark at the end.
Exactly. But oh fuck, does it hurt? We see a lot of like people passing by, like give you a bit of a wider berth, some of them eyeing you as you're just kind of crouched over, groaning and wheezing and clutching at your belly like you're dying. And fuck, maybe you are dying. You don't know. Is this how you go? And then either way, it hurts.
That lets me know I'm partially alive.
Very tempted to be like, it's the night move, but no, I feel like that alone is pretty tame. So we just kind of see you doubled over on the boardwalks. And we cut over back to Niels in the back room where some people are playing a game of a three card. Or what is it called? Hold on. I literally just had it. Three card Monty, that's what it's called. Yeah. There's a few gentlemen in the back, none of which you'd call reputable, except for one of them. One of them is dressed more extravagantly than anyone probably in this corner of the town, in a pale yellow suit with a green paisley waistcoat, a bright orange tie. He stands out, not like a sore thumb, but like a festering one, you know? Brown, curly mutton chops that curl up along his slightly jowled face. He's a little, got a little bit of paunch to him, a little overweight. He seems to be that happiest gentleman of all sorts, which is funny because by your understanding of games, he is so in the red. He's losing so poorly. Like he is clearly having the best time of his life, but is not doing good whatsoever at this game. So his chipper demeanor and his overall, the fact that he does not really belong here among the other clientele. No one else really seems to mind, considering the fact that they are taking this man for everything he's worth, you know? It seems that they're wrapping up the game, though, and he goes, "Oh, gentlemen, I'm afraid it looks like I'll have to fold," and just puts his cards down and just like laughs and looks at his small little petty couple of chips that he managed to still has, shakes his head, and takes a little tiny shot glass worth of knocks back whatever's in there and sets it down just with kind of like an admitted but still, pleasured defeat. Just leans back, resting his hands on his haunches, and the game kind of wraps up from there. And the crowd is kind of dispersing, leaving him to just kind of sit there and goes, I think I'm in the mood for another. And picks up his glass and begins to like walk out, but stops when he sees you, I assume, kind of having walked into this room. Oh, don't mind me, just coming around. And it starts to sidestep you and go out of the main room.
Oh, don't worry about it. Why don't I get you another drink?
Well,
I don't.
that's very kind of you, sir. Well, I'm not going to say no to that. By all means. He straightens his waistcoat out and walks with you to the bar where he orders not a shot, but this time a whole normal a glass of a particular spirit of his choosing. He likes just straight whiskey, a nice thin, not top shelf. He gets just whatever is the middle of the line for a place like Neil's.
Be shocked if Niels had top shelf whiskey.
Well, there is whiskey on the top shelf, but it's not any different from the whiskey on the bottom shelf. It's
Amazing. After we've ordered, Graves does not get a drink once again. He just gets his new friend a drink and turns to him. I don't suppose you would be interested in another game, would you?
There's an immediate little glint in his eye. I was, oh, tempting me to sin, you are. You know the questions that appeal to my heart all too well, stranger. I might be indeed tempted, and it will be as easy as plying me with a drink. As far as I'm concerned, you've gotten my ante. He swirls his little whiskey around. What are you looking to play?
Oh, there's no need for an ante. Just a game of chess.
Can't say I've ever played games of chess before. More of a cards and dice gentleman I am. Do they
Oh.
even do Can you even gamble with chess?
Oh, there's no need to gamble, just to win lose, making friends.
Well, I have to admit, it's not exactly my game. I fancy the game's a chance, you know.
Ooh.
Luck comes and goes for us few that make our living amongst the saloons and casinos of the world, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, all right then. Since you are new here, I think you should get to pick the game.
Well, my favorite's three-card Monty, but don't tell anyone, I'm terrible at it.
Your secret's safe with me, my friend. Why don't we play? Just you and I.
Pulls up a table, sets his glass down, starts getting out cards. He reaches his hand across the table and says, Clarence O'Toole.
Graves.
Shakes your
Pleasure.
gloved hand, I assume.
Yeah,
Yeah,
oh, gloved.
exactly.
He's staying gloved.
Very fine calfskin gloves, are they?
Thank you. Yes, I've had them for quite a while. I have to say, you have a very fine suit.
Thank you kindly. I got it for a fair price back in my home country after winning a fair
Oh.
bout after a few weeks of struggling.
Oh, really? What brings you here then?
It's not my first time out in these parts. El Paso is always on my circuit of towns out west. No, this is the first time I've been here in about 6 years. I'm doing pretty well for myself this go around. He, you know, pulls out like a cigarette, and then like looks to you and like offers you one.
He'll take it,
Yeah, care.
absolutely.
Care for a light?
Yes, thank you.
Strikes you up.
Another part of the human experience that's fascinating. And I do want to use my move care for a game, for sure,
Oh,
100%.
let's talk about that move. You care to read it out loud?
Yes, all right. So, care for a game. When you play a game with a side character, you may do any or all of the following, win or lose, which seems incredibly OP to me, but Godspeed. Ask the keeper when and how they are meant to die. The keeper can ask you to declare it instead. Ask them about their true nature or motives. They will answer truthfully and completely. Prevent them from dying for 1 day cycle.
What are you doing with him then?
I'm only interested in his motives. I could care less if he lives or dies right now.
Incredible. You'll ask, oh, okay, gotcha. This is fun. So it's not you ask the keeper, it's you're asking Clarence about his true motives, and he'll just tell you
Yes.
whatever. That's really great. He just says, you play a few rounds, couple, you know, he is really bad at this game, Death. And he
No.
is really, really bad. I mean, like, if you caught this man wandering betwixt places and he played you for his soul. He'd lose so hard.
It's just like I don't think Graves can keep the pity out of its face. Like there's like clear like, oh, you poor son of a bitch. You really are bad at this. 'Cause he kind of thought he was faking earlier. And he's like, oh God, are you actually really this bad? Oh. He actually lets him like win a hand just because.
He says. And, you know, during the course of conversation, he just kind of tells you, he's like, well, every few years, I like to make a circuit throughout the New World, go from the finest, shiniest towns in the east all the way to the coast of the west. Been as far as San Francisco before. I have to tell you, the Chinese there really know how to play a mean game of mahjong. One day I'll figure out how that one works.
I'm sure you will. It's a fine game.
Can't say I've seen the appeal. Reminds me of dominoes, just without all the pips.
I suppose so, yes.
But like I said, first time in 6 years I've been out El Paso way. I've been frequenting the finest gambling establishments this town has to offer, and a few of the less fine ones, if you can see the company that we're presently in. Shuffling
Of
cards,
course.
you know, drawing hands. I've frequented the Golden Spur, the Rio Grande Gambling Saloon, all sorts of places. Lots of money to be found in a town as burgeoning as this one. But of course,
Ouch.
you know, you'd think a fella might be nervous. Reports of phantom burglars taking folks for all they're worth. But not me. I don't live here. Just passing through. Shuffles the cards again, dealing out the cards. He says, Frankly, until this phantom burglar begins to rob gambling sorts of their money right out of their pockets in the middle of a game, I've got nothing to worry about. I don't keep my money in no bank vault. After all, bank vaults are good for one and only thing as far as I'm concerned, robbing.
That is an interesting philosophy, but it does seem to be the prevalent one, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. So, what were you doing here 6 years ago? The same thing?
Same thing, passing through these parts, gambling at whatever establishments were there at the for offer at the time, and then made my way, continued on my circuit, losing money, gaining money, meeting all sorts of interesting folks out there.
You know, you seem to... No offense, my friend, but you do seem to lose games more than you win. Where do you get the funds?
Let's make the information move. Plus presents. No disadvantage.
Really need to spend a point to get more presents. I got like 0.7.
Then clue with a complication. I like a lot.
I love complications.
We love complications. I know what I'm going to have happen here in a moment, but I'll go ahead and give you the clue. Let's see here. B-b-b-b-bum. So many clues I could choose from here. Let's see. He kind of gives you this conspiratorial look. Like he, at first there's like this, like, what's the word I'm looking for here? Aloof kind of demeanor that he's wearing, a slight smirk as if he's about to say like, I'll never tell. But then there's like an ease, a relaxation, this sense of like, well, maybe I can tell. Kind of glances slightly over one shoulder, leans forward halfway across the table, lowers his voice conspiratorially and says, you seem like a good sort, Mr. Graves, was it? Can I let you in on a secret?
Oh, please do.
I've stumbled onto something miraculous.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What
and
is it?
He reaches into his coat and pulls out a bag, blacker than black, and kind of like waves it in front of your face. It's about, you know, the size of a standard, it's a little bit bigger than your average purse, but it's, he kind of like holds it out to you.
Graves doesn't touch it, but he does look at it.
It's nothing to write home about, you know, but then he, seeing that you don't take it, he just kind of like loosens the drawstring, pulls it open, and sets it on the table. And you can glance inside. And it's, you know, a little bit of light can illuminate some rolls of cash that are in there. But that's not the most interesting thing. The most interesting thing is that that bag is definitely holding more than its physical dimensions would suggest.
Well, isn't that a neat trick?
No trick at all, Mr. Graves. That is pure and proper magic, that is.
Oh, surely not.
Surely yes. Blacker than a moonless night, and deeper than the space between the stars, or at least I'd assume otherwise.
And where did you find this bag?
Ah, he draws the strings close and says, back home, back in Ireland. Lots of strange magic out there in that place. Lots of old footprints of travelers long past, if you take my meaning. As much as I may love those hills and rills of that land I once called home, to land of hardship, my da, God rest his soul, struggled with the very land my grandfather's grandfather set upon. Soon the land turned fallow, couldn't grow anything, struck down by a pure and proper famine he was. It was a terrible time, and I decided to make something for myself, and in my rambunctious youth, may have found a thing or two, won some interesting things at different games with different folks, and so I've just made sound investments. Tucks the bag away. Now, normally this clue, this is that is the clue, and normally you can add that to your personal quarters, but because he owns it, he is It's still in his being. You could possibly, you can still use the clue, but if you wanted to add it to your personal quarters, you'd need to somehow get it from him. But that's not your complication. That's just a fact of the fiction. The complication is going to be, let's see here. Take a look at my moments of anything fun comes up. I think as he's talking, he goes from conspiratorial to his to speaking loudly,
Oh no.
noisily lording his wealth over others, talking about how good he is, talking about how not talking about how good at games he is, or and his proclamations of wealth have nothing to do with speaking of himself as any better class or socially than any other people here. He's just loudly talking about how much money he has, especially with the alcohol even plying him. And it draws some attention. And I think we see some ill-intended fellow patrons stand up, hold chairs over, two of them, and sit down at your table. And Clarence was kind of caught like in a laugh as he was telling you something. His expression flickers, slightly confused. But these two gentlemen, as they sidle up, one of them just carries on that laugh. He's like, ha, 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 yeah. Oh, what are we laughing about, boys?
Just an inside joke, my new friend. Would you care to play a game with us? Do I recognize these people, by the way?
A very good question. I think maybe at the recesses of your mind, maybe a little tug from Bartholomew of recognition. Nothing severe, just a sense of the face is familiar, or at least Bartholomew thinks the face is familiar.
Could keep my glove on. I was debating. Oh,
They lean forward. One of them puts their arm around Clarence here and says, "A drink then to good fortune." And then just like holds up a finger and Neil, sweating, just begins to pour some shots out and they bring them to the bar. These men, you don't need to, you can tell they have ill intent. These are men who like are probably gonna put the sweat on Clarence, and this might turn violent. Who knows? It's that kind of place, but they're definitely putting the squeeze at this table here. And they look at you and says, one of them says, "Why don't you go get us a nice bottle for the table to drink between three new friends, gambling sorts."
Oh, no, I'm quite comfortable here. I think you could go get it.
I say, let's make this the night move because of the ill repute of this place, of Neil's being a den for crime anyway. What are you afraid of happening here, Graves?
That'll escalate into a fight, and I will have to kill these people.
It's worse than that. People are going to witness that their deaths don't come entirely naturally.
That's good.
So you can
That's
roll.
good.
You can roll the night move plus presence if you, unless you wish to back down or still go through with
Oh,
it.
I'm not backing down. This is great.
Go ahead and roll. Dice on the table.
Don't need disadvantage on any of this?
No disadvantage. I
Okay.
don't think either of your conditions would apply here.
Okay, I wanted to double check.
You're not touching anyone yet.
It's
It's a five. Let's take a break. Let's take five. Marshall Harrington, you hop the fence into the graveyard and are walking over towards Eli Shields.
Yeah.
Awesome. He gives you like a little nod as he continues to strike his spade into the dusty earth. Just says, let's see here, one second. He is soaked in sweat, by the way.
Yeah.
And let's see. One second. Good afternoon, Marshall.
Good afternoon, Eli.
How do you fare?
Could be better, all things considering.
There's not a lot of kind words being said about you around the town at the moment. Chester's particularly worked up. Got some heard some rumors, and I told him, pay them no mind. I don't think you've ever done us wrong. But folks is talking, and you know how folks are.
Yes, I know that's around here. That's more petty crimes or more dangerous than serious ones. So even if I do prove that the serious ones aren't being caused by me, the sort of pettiness of youthful excursions may just, well, get me kicked out of here.
I mean, despite the accent, Marshall, there are certainly stranger folks in these parts.
Speaking of stranger folks, I know that your work deals with dealing with the dead and with all the sorts of ghosts out of the light, and from what you've described of the bounty hunter,
Aye.
I do have a question for you, Mr. Shields. How do you know when a person is truly dead?
Well, typically in my line of work and Chester's as well, they're dead because they are coming at your door. I give them a place in the ground. Chester gives them a place in the sky. And while my dearly beloved Chester is a much more nihilistic sort when it comes to perception on this mortal world we stand upon, we both have work in similar ways. We know they're dead, and it's often not the bodies that are our concern, but the spirits. Spirits get stirred up when their bodies don't get proper burials, Marshal. It's humiliating to them, I guess, a sign of disrespect. That's why my job is so important. It's a grave responsibility. Sorry, that's a bit of grave digger humor there.
Yes. With what I've heard of the bounty hunter, I've not seen them myself. They should be dead.
Strikes a spade in the earth and lifts a heavy full of dirt in this grave he's digging. He says, well, seeing him at night, I did indeed behold a walking corpse, but now in daylight, from what little I have seen of him, looks like any ordinary man. Times like these, Marshal, indeed times like these, hard to tell when someone's dead. Makes a gravedigger's job all the more confusing in what should be a practical and all things considered simple profession.
I feel for you, Mr. Shields. These are troubling times when even the people that are meant to handle the dead cannot tell the difference.
He kind of like sticks his spade in the earth and folds his hands on the handle to like, prop himself up against it as he looks, reflectively off out into the yonder, just musing philosophically, waxing poetic. He's like, we often contend with spirits this time of year, but this bounty hunting gentleman is something else, something both of flesh and spirit, a thing that's not quite dead. I wonder why that is. Perhaps he wasn't given a proper burial? I mean, a proper burial is the best way to honor the dead. But it's also important, he goes back to shoveling, for a community. to bury their dead. It's a way of expressing, speaking to that restless spirit. No matter your troubles, no matter the life you lived, we here still saw something in you, and that something was worth remembering. I hope that fella, wherever he came from, was done right by. Unfinished business can bring out the worst in someone.
Yes. What has me most concerned is that El Paso isn't. El Paso's unique, and it's not too big. And when ghosts get arise, they only really happen within our township. So whoever this is must have died here.
Whoever this is, I don't remember burying them. You might want to speak to Eli, though. I can't remember every face that... Or not, I am Eli, hold on. You might want to speak to Chester, though. Though I do admit, I don't always remember every single face I put in the ground. Sometimes they don't have one.
And sometimes people don't get buried.
It's a great fucking line to end the scene on. We cut away from that. Graves, let's narrate your myth, and then I think we'll set up the night phase. So you rolled a miss.
Yep.
Let's see here. It's a really good... I've thought about like six different reactions. So I'm kind of like, which one do I do? I think I'll do this. Let me take a look at your sheet for a second, real quick. Okay. With your miss result, it's going to be the worst, right? You get into like a stare off with this unseemly gentleman as he leers at you, the words hang in the air, silent and still. Neil sweats a bit more profusely, this tension hanging in the room like a miasma, a thick, choking cloud of burgeoning hostility. At what point do you feel or otherwise know that there's a gun held under the table that is being pointed at you?
Death has a smell. Like, incoming death has a smell, and this one smells like metallic and like iron in your mouth.
You smell it. You know it's coming. You can almost hear the quivering tension in the tendons and ligaments of this man's hand as his thumb stretches to rest in the slotted grooves of the hammer and slowly begin to pull it back. You hear the faintest shift in the mechanics of the gun, click, 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 not even quite locking into place. And you remove the glove and you touch this man.
Just gently.
Let me take a look at our safety tab for a second.
Oh no, that's always exciting.
Not marked.
For a keeper reaction.
Not marked. You touch him. There is a deep, earthy pulse of some bass drone that beats like some ancient heart, just pumping blood for the first time in an epoch that only you can hear. A slight tousling of air on his hair. Oh, a tousling of his hair, a faint breeze that brings with it the smell of carrion and sun-baked rope hanging beneath gallows. And this man just cock, you hear the click of the hammer in place as he looks at you. Puts the barrel in his mouth and pulls the trigger.
Holy fuck.
The gunshot goes off, brains splatter up onto the bar ceiling. There is a shout of alarm from a few people. Neil himself is spattered with blood. The other cowpoke is staring aghast in horror at what just happened, unable to realize, not able to parse what just proceeded here. And you then turn to him as well. Let me take a look here for a second.
God damn. Things are escalating.
And you don't kill that second one. You look at that one deep in their eyes, and they see their death in there. And you watch as skin grows pale, almost bone white, stumbling on shaky legs, gets up from the table and begins to back away from you, whispering a prayer, drawing a cross over themselves, stumbling back at the bar. There's an uneasy tension in the air, and Clarence O'Toole is just sitting there, caked in sweat, all sense of pleasure gone, gulps audibly, and looks at you, not really sure what just happened. And I'm going to give you the condition, cold blood. Unless you'd like to bump up the result at all.
Oh, man, I'm like always a little tempted, but this is really cool. And as long as everyone else is cool with it, I'm going to keep this miss. Everyone else good with this? That this happened? Sick. Okay. Yeah, I'm keeping this miss. I love this so much. Is this an appropriate time to do my prior mask?
I was literally just about to ask you. This is a perfect time for you to do the mask you owe us.
Fabulous. All right. Don't let me forget to put in this condition. I always have to like. But for now, for pacing, narrate a flashback to a time of great violence when you met your sibling War and finished his work. His sword flashes in the sunset as he rides upon his bloody steed. Hundreds follow him into the fray, only to be cut down again and again and again. War never sheds blood with his own sword. No, humans do that for him, and with very little prompting. He makes it look easy. Great violence often is. I follow the din of metal on metal, screams of agony, and pleas for mercy. I do not bring mercy, but I do bring silence, stillness, and that is close enough for most.
I think without any further ado, let's go into the dusk phase. All right. Marshall, is there an assemblage tonight?
No.
Okay.
He is a little bit nervous about getting people together.
That's entirely fair. All right, let's talk about the Wounded Knight then. And speaking of silence, let's talk about the silent infants of the Wounded Knight. Babies born during the Wounded Knight are safely born without so much as a peep. What traditions or rituals have the townsfolk adopted to celebrate, protect, or cleanse these silent infants?
I think like people put like little bells on cats, you know, so they can hear them coming. I think they put little tiny like bells on their socks. They like sew up to their socks, so when they move, you can hear this little tinkling sound.
I think they have one of these sort of sort of candles with like those sort of toppers that whenever when a candle extinguishes so far, it snuffs it out, just to make sure that they check on the baby, make sure that they consistently make sure the baby has their food, is properly changed, because they don't cry at all during the wounded night. So like they may just go without their needs being met if you don't pay it enough attention to them.
I think every birth during the Wounded Night is celebrated with a dumb supper, completely silent, one that you would normally have in respect for the dead to invite them to the table, but it's also a celebration of life during the Wounded Night and a respect for the silence.
Awesome. Do you guys want to tackle any questions tonight? Do we have clues for questions? We have three on Ghost Be Gone. No, okay. So we are not, unless you want to roll on Ghost Be Gone with a minus one. We have only three clues for that. And to that I always say, don't be a coward, do it. But I will
Take
not
a
hold you
look.
to it.
Let's take a look.
Now, the only one you could even attempt to answer is either the first or second question, which the first one would be at a minus one, the second one would be at a minus three, which is hilarious. But all the same, let's take, I'm going to assume no. All right
No.
then, character keeper order. All right, Graves, what do you want to do during the upcoming night phase?
I think I am going to probably just stalk around the bank, like skulk as he does, to see if there's anybody doing their walking in and out between the walls, doing any magic bullshit, trying to be cash, pretending I did not kill a man earlier today.
Totally. Marshall, what are you doing?
I'm breaking into the bounty hunter room.
And Arkansas?
I'm torn between staying in bed and complaining about it towards or I just don't think I can sneak into where Dr. Clarkson, that warehouse where they're making stuff or they're storing stuff, but I don't think I can in this. I think I'm too like I think my
Bedridden.
Yeah, I think I'm too messed up. So instead, and I'm tempted to go to Doc Albers, but I don't want to get him killed because I'm gonna be rolling really bad, and everybody around me is in danger.
Doc Albers takes house calls.
Oh, in that case, we would see him in his room at the brothel, and he gets one of the prostitutes to run go get Doc Albers because something bad's happened to Arkansas, you know.
I love that. Do we have any lingering masks that need to be resolved still?
I've got one that I can do, I think, pretty quickly.
Hell yeah, do it.
It's what he's named that horse, the child from Titus, the horse of Blackheart Vermilion. And so he's decided to name it Matthew, because that was his uncle that we saw in his last one that was taking him out, that his family was were struggling in Virginia. And so basically all his brothers and sisters got split up with different aunts and uncles and things like that. So we see this wagon, and it's going across these flat like grasslands, and we see a little kid who's like 10 years old, and he's sitting next to this older man who's driving this wagon, and the little boy looks up and says, "Uncle Matthew, are we still in Mississippi?" And the man shakes his head. No, he says, "No, Charles, we're now because we crossed the Mississippi, so now we're in Arkansas territory. This is part of Missouri territory, but we're in Arkansas territory right now. We're not in the United States anymore, nephew." And so the little boy looks around. And he says, "Is there bandits out here, Uncle Matthew?" And his uncle looks down at him and says, "It could be." You might ought to keep your eye out. You never know. It could be some bandits out here. Just you look this way and I look that way, and we'll be covered there, okay? I'm on it, Uncle Matthew.
Awesome. Very good. The unseen for this upcoming night phase is going to, by the rules, be the ghost begone unseen. I have gone ahead and assigned prompts, and given that this is going to be a shorter session today, I think we will not get into this evening. We will kick off the next session with this. I believe we're going to be down a Daniel next week anyway. So I will plan around that. Boo hoo. And yeah, because I would hate to rush through. While I could do this unseen in like a pretty quick pace, I'm not sure I could get it done and then do Stars and Wishes, and I have to go record the announcement for the winners of the Silt versus Writing contest, and I don't want to be late for that. So I'm thinking I'll assign those prompts now, which I've given everyone that. We can call the session there, which breaks my heart because I had such fun ideas in mind for this night phase, but it's all right, honestly. Okay, then we will play the night phase next session. Let's go ahead and jump to Stars and Wishes.
Oh boy, we are a mess this session. We have Arkansas, who is kind of convinced that he may be a ghost. So we've got Graves, who just killed a man, in a very weird way. And when Harrington finds out about it, oh boy, we're going to have some talks, because that's not normal.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Graves didn't kill anyone.
I didn't do anything. What are you
Well,
talking about, Marshall?
you are a witness to what is going on. So like th this is like you were sitting right across him.
Oh my God, I
Man, things
forgot
are about to
Marshall.
get real fun for Marshall Harrington.
Oh, you poor thing.
Yeah. Like a man killed himself in kneels. Like that doesn't happen. Like other people killing each
Well,
other at kneels, like that is just freaky and weird. Like, is kneels now haunted? Maybe. And then Harrington is just stressed and contemplating like life currently and is avoiding town. Just a mess. It's fine. It's fine. But Alex, man, we're this session is just like we're going real hard here.
I'll go next. Starts for chaotic with a scene between Eli and the marshal and the quote, "Sometimes people don't get buried." That was and Alex for like ending it right there at that scene. That was really cool. My wish is to see how the marshal like starts to sort through all this. I'll probably miss it, but I'll watch the video. B, I got a big star for going to Neil's. I'm glad we're going back to that place. It's from the Blackheart Vermilion threat, but I'm glad that we're like working it in. And using your move to play a game with Clarence just to find out what his motives were. That was a really great use of your moves. Alex, I love the ghost begone fail. I feel like Arkansas just can't catch a break with this ghost be gone, and that's cool. It seems like we were talking about my additional move, and this may all work out pretty good for my additional move anyways. Off camera, we're talking about it. And Alex stars for both two new, actually three, but two that stood out. In side characters, Clarence O'Toole loved him, and Eli is the soft spoken. Grave digger. So both those two are awesome. I like your portrayal. Both those, they're really standouts. And Wish, I don't know. I don't know. I guess you'll need to wait for me to come back to do the to start up my threat, and that's fine if it gets postponed. But other than that, yeah, watch out for Batman. He's coming for the marshal.
We might just have a longer night phase next time, is what I might do, is just really kind of draw it out for, because we did the day phase this session, do a night phase next session, and then after that we'll be on balanced footing again.
Just go, just do callbacks to Arkansas whimpering in the night.
Poor thing. Oh my God. So many stars. So many stars. Alex, I love Eli. Alex and Chaotic, I love that conversation. It was so poetic. Like it was just between Eli and Harrington was that was gorgeous. Like I was just like, ugh, it felt scripted in like the best way, in like a Deadwood HBO way. Like it was so cool. It was so cool. I loved it. I loved your reactions this session, Alex. They were really hardcore in a really fun way. And I mean, you know me, I love a miss. I love a miss because it gets spicy when there's a miss. And it's really fun to see how you push the story forward. And I'm really interested to see what Ghost Begone is. Like, what is the liquid? What is the liquid? It's terrible stuff, I'm sure. Oh my God. I love Harrington's whole deal, just sort of avoiding everyone. That's hilarious. That you're just sort of. And then you're gonna go break into the bounty hunter's room. That's also very, very, very good. I'm delighted at how you are handling this particular thing. This is very funny, and I'm very excited to see where this goes. Arkansas continues to delight me. Oh my God. It seems like things go really smoothly for him sometimes, and then it just goes down to like zero. Like complete zero, like, and it's a perfect, it feels pitch perfect every time. And I love your reactions to your fate, your like your misses, like the, and that you were gonna drink it to see what it was. That's very good. Just the way he convinces people to do things, it's just really fun. It's so on brand. It always feels right, and it's very, very good. Just stars all around. Absolutely delightful. You're all delightful. This was a blast.
I thought of another one while you're thinking, Alex. Star for Chaotic for going on a night move, going breaking into the bounty hunter's hotel room. Like, man, that's like.
I need to do crime to resolve crime. That's
You're
how it
taking the
just
bull by the
is.
horns, though, and I that big star for that.
I mean, I obviously agree with a lot of the stars that have already been thrown out there, but I do want to pay special attention to that scene with Eli Shields in the graveyard. That was a really strong scene. I mean, obviously it was aided by really great writing. Daniel, the write-up for Eli Shields as a character already has a lot of great stuff to work with, so that just made the scene all the easier and more fun to role play with. And so I was having a great time with that. I really enjoyed, because I mean, like, that scene could have started to go in directions of like getting like clues, but I kind of like that it didn't. I like that it kind of just became this philosophical conversation between these two men out in the middle of a graveyard on a hot day. It's very very like just beautiful, and you also know when a scene should end. And so you kind of like led into that moment very well. That was particularly fantastic. I mean, star to B for rolling with that sucker punch of a complication. Again, I'm always angling to be like, well, what's a complication here that might tempt them to keep it? And so, I'm glad that you wanted to keep that scene, because honestly, as I was thinking about it, I was like, I will be sad if this scene does not stay. That was pretty great.
I would never. It was too good. You
Yes,
did
thank
too
you.
good.
And Daniel, love all of the conversation you do with the horse and the stable boys, just being like, listen, if it's the wrong horse, I'll bring it back. That was just very fun. Overall, this like really we did like a little, just only focus on the day phase, obviously, but there was a very distinct tone this session had that I feel like has not necessarily been fully the same as like other sessions. Like, there was both a mix of something sinister at play and something humorous at play and something sad at play. It's like it had this like nice little threefold balance of things happening here in everyone's respective stories. And I thought that was very nice. But yeah, that's just a lot of fun. See, I mean, I have just also Star, the mask prompts in session were very good. Loved Chaotic, your mask for that. Very, very sinister. The Harrington is continuing to get painted in a darker light, and I like this. I'm excited to see like what his deal is, like what he is running from, and like all these things that he clearly has done in his past. There's a lot here to work with, and I'm excited. And then especially B, very short and sweet, but very evocative mask with war there. I could very much picture it as a you know, as not necessarily a full-on flashback, but very, you know, like a vignette really of just of flashes of imagery, and that was very cool. Gives me a lot of fun vibes to work with, and so I'm excited to see how more of this horseman lore fleshes out from here. I think I'm excited just to see more of you bringing that into the mix, because I made a little cheeky reference to Clarence O'Toole mentioning that his family had suffered from famine, wink wink, nudge nudge. So like, let's see how that relationship with various events changes. But yeah, great session. I'm excited for the introduction of Blackheart Vermilion when we have you, Daniel, because I think that'll be crazy. Maybe we'll have resolved the threat by then. Who knows? We probably won't have resolved the threat by then, but it's like we're probably gonna have five threats come this next day phase, which will be wild. So that'll be exciting. But I honestly don't have any like nerves or like worries about it, because not just my own comfortability with running this game, but the table I have here, you all are very good at pacing in the narrative. So I don't think things are going to be bogged down in any way by a stacked template, or stacked plate, I should say. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. Any other stars or wishes?
I gotta get this started. Daniel's like mask prompt because like that Charles I'm just a baby boy. Oh, I love him. I would die for him.
So good.
And another star for Dr. Clarkson. He's just such a he's so I liked how you played him as like amused. You know, he's not he it's it was almost like behind the scenes with Dr. Clarkson. He wasn't doing like the big he wasn't doing the big show. He was just like trying to feel like what's your angle? And it was like a cool behind the scenes with Dr. Clarkson. I really liked the star for that too. Awesome.
And just why are all the guys in El Paso just so sweaty?
It's
It's
hot.
hot.
It's the desert.
It's a desert.
It's so hot. And it's, listen,
It's by the river.
listen.
It's not even a dry heat.
Oh, God,
It's
no, it
humidity. It's
sucks.
hot.
It sucks.
Like, I just find it's like a funny, like, it's just like, and then he sweats more.
We all have dysentery.
Haven't you seen old cowboy movies? They're always just glistening. It's a part of it. It's part of the ambiance. There's no AC.
Yeah, it just makes me laugh every time. I'm just like.
Awesome. Well, then, with no other stars or wishes, let us wave goodbye to the camera.